What an honour for me to just come and share with you on this Sunday's message on finances. I would like to speak to you on the tithe. And the message that I have in my heart, I believe it's directed towards grace preachers. I want to speak to preachers, you know, mainly grace preachers, and then as well any other preacher, any other person. But this is what's really in my heart and what's really pressing down hard in my belief, that I need to share this with you on what I believe on the tithe. And I want to encourage preachers today to get free from the bondage that you are in. You know, maybe you are free already, maybe you're not. You know, I've spoken to many preachers all over the world. I've also spoken to many grace preachers all over the world, and I found that there's one thing, basically two things that people differ on, grace preachers, and that is Israel and the end times and tithing. Now, I do believe that the greatest hindrance, and I want to repeat myself, I believe the greatest hindrance for people to experience the fullness of what God has in store for them in Jesus Christ in this life is the traditional way of preaching the tithe. Now, I found that, you know, when we get into grace, that it's a radical step, especially if you've got a congregation, especially if you've got a big congregation, you know, to all of a sudden go and say, listen, I want to change my doctrine concerning the tithe. Now, that tithe message has always been the foundation of financial income, tithing and sowing and reaping. And I see these days, this is not now towards grace preachers, but I see this on television all over, that tithing and sowing and reaping is not enough. Now you can give for your healing, you can give for your children to get out of drugs or off drugs and so forth. You know, and we all know that is just a bunch of rubbish. It is not from God. It's a lie from the pit of hell. We don't pay for the anointing. The other day I heard a guy say, you cannot buy the anointing, but you can sow for the anointing. Man, that is just rubbish. It just kills people. And when I sat there, I looked at the faces, when the camera went over the faces of the people, I just saw that despair. I just saw that death. I just saw that, how many times must I then sow for this tree to come up, you know? How many times must I then give before I'm going to be anointed or healed or get my breakthrough? Now, I want to say this. Tithing and sowing and reaping teaching, if you sit with a traditional way of the tithe and the sowing and reaping message, you will find that your people struggle to really understand grace. And they will have a hunger inside them for more, where there is nothing more, but everything has been given to us in Jesus. So people will always be struggling for more. They will feel an area of lack. They will feel that God gave them everything for free, except for money. Now, I've heard, I was thinking about these things years ago, and in my life as well, you know, because you sit with this thing of, we need to get money. Now, when you sit with that, in the traditional way, we've been taught that God's not our source, the people are our source. We make our need known to God, and we're going to get it from the people. And we're going to share the vision to the point that the people feel bent over backwards and just give. Or we will create a lack in the hearts of people by saying to them, you know, you can be healed, or you can have the prosperity plus more prosperity, or you owe God the tithe, you know. God will not be angry with you if you don't tithe, but you're indebted to God. You owe Him something. You owe Him the tithe. I want to tell you, my friend, we don't have to do any of those things to get people to give. As what we don't have to do anything to get people to live a holy life. A holy life is born. A generosity is born in the church. You know, on one of the television stations that I preach on in South Africa, there's a guy with a big church that preaches grace. But he came and he said, you know, in private, he said, he's not going to preach on the grace on finances. He says because he's scared he's not going to be able to pay his bills. So people will stay manipulated, stay under the control of death because we need to pay bills. Now, I want to encourage people today, I want to encourage pastors to take courage, to know that the gospel works, that you can go and preach the truth about finances, the truth about the tithe to your people, and they can be set free. We don't want people to be set free in every area of life except finances. You know, if people are not set free in the area of finances, they are bound in 95% of everything in their life. Let me say that again. If people are still under the law when it comes to money, they are under the law in 95% of everything in their life. If a person cannot feel that if I never give any cent ever again, I will not lose out on anything from God's side towards me, if he doesn't have that emotion in his heart, he's still under the law when it comes to finances. You know, so many times as leaders, we get wonderful visions. You know, we get a vision for a bigger building. We get a vision for more video cameras. We get a vision to reach more people. I mean, even in my own heart, I've got a vision to have a mission station in Zambia somewhere. Now, that vision is a vision that God gave you as a person. But the moment we get it as a person, we project that towards our congregations and towards the people that follow us, and we make it their vision, telling them that they should pay for it, thinking that how will I get my people to give towards this? Let me tell you something. If you've got a vision in your heart from God, and I mean, as it's natural in your heart, your mouth will speak about it, and there will be people that you don't ever have to teach anything about tithing or sowing and reaping or anything like that, that will give their lives into that vision because it's also a passion born in their hearts. And let me tell you something, my friend. If there are not such people, then maybe you shouldn't do that vision. Maybe you shouldn't build the thing that you want to build, or you might buy the thing you want to buy, or, you know, if, in my case, if there's not people that comes free from condemnation, free from me telling them how they are, how they should tithe, how they should be blessed, and give naturally towards what I want to do, if they don't do it out of free will, and I don't receive the finances from free will, then I don't do it. Then we just leave it. But so many times we think we need to do this thing for God. No, you don't need to do that thing for God. All we need to do is receive what Christ has freely given unto us. Now, let's quickly get into the tithe. I want to just touch on Deuteronomy and we will go into some other sessions as well. Right. Number one, if your people are under the tithing, sowing and reaping message, I want to tell you, my friend, that they are in bondage. They are in bondage. If you are sharing with your people a message that, you know, let me give you a couple of phrases which I believe is a cop-out on the real message. We will say something like this. Under the law, we gave 10%. Under grace, we'll do much more. So we are now preaching grace, glory to God. That's a lie. Under the law, they didn't give 10%. Now, I'm going to prove it to you now from the Bible. I preached that way. I used to say, you know, under the law, they gave 10%. Under grace, we're going to give much more. Because I was too scared to say that you don't have to give to be blessed by God. I was too scared to say that if you never, ever in your life give 1 cent, it will never change God's mind about you. And you will be equally blessed in your life. I was too scared to say that. I also didn't have the knowledge about what the true tithe was. You know, another thing we can say is like, well, you know, you don't have to tithe, but if you don't tithe, you're stupid. You're just a fool. We can say things like, you know, the tithe belongs to God. If you don't tithe, God's not going to demand it from you, but you're going to live with somebody else's possession in your... Or you're going to possess something that belongs to somebody else because it belongs to God. My goodness, that just brings condemnation into the hearts of people. And Jesus Christ came and he said clearly in John 20 that whosoever we declare as forgiven will be forgiven in their hearts. But whosoever we keep guilty shall be guilty in their hearts before God. And Jesus said, go and declare them innocent. Go and declare them forgiven. So as leaders, we need to say, Lord, help us that we can use the boldness and get the courage to get free from the fear of bringing the truth about tithing into our congregations. Now, I know if you study out the grace, that deep in your heart, as a grace preacher, you already feel, man, I shouldn't preach this tithing and sowing and reaping message. But then quickly we justify ourselves by thinking of a verse or two that might lean towards allowing the tithe. But in your heart, you know, I wish I didn't have to preach this. You must be very honest with yourself. I wish that finances could freely flow in, that I never even have to talk about it. I believe that's the heart of every pastor. He doesn't want to put an emphasis on money all the time. Now, I want to tell you that freedom, my friend, is there for you. That freedom is there where you can minister from that platform. It is yours. What you need to do, number one, before you even minister anything about this to your congregation, follow the principle that Jesus gave in Matthew 6. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, what does that mean? It means simply this. If you want to know how God will provide for you, like what you take communion, something physical you do. You take the bread, you take the wine, you eat it, you drink it in remembrance of God. As you go for physical baptism, I want to encourage you, my friend. I've done it so many times in my life and it blesses me. I've done it even today. You sit down for a minute or two and you look at a bird outside. When you look at that bird and see how carefree he is in the care of God, you find peace come to your heart. For your value, my friend, is greater than that of a bird. As a pastor, I want to tell you, and I mean, you're a pastor out there, your value is greater to God than the birds, and God provides for the birds. And allow this message of how God will provide for you, free from you telling your congregation to tithe or to sow or any like that, and they can give out of a free heart, without you putting any pressure on them or wanting to put pressure on them in a way that is just inside the grace border but almost into the law. We don't want to do that. We want to live a free life. Before you go and speak to them, do this. Get your heart persuaded that God loves you financially, that He cares for you, you know, that He will always provide for you. And once your heart's settled in that, you'll be able to minister. But before that, you will, like in Afrikaans we say, you will resist what God wants to do in your life. Now let's quickly go to the tithe here. I've only got 7 minutes in this session. Let's quickly go here. It says in verse 22, Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 22, it says, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where He shall choose to place His name there, the tithe of your corn, of your wine, of your oil, of the firstling of your herd and of your flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. So what shall you do with a tithe? And you can go and read Deuteronomy 14, verse 22 and 23 in your own Bible. And I encourage you to do this. It says, you will take the tithe to the place where the Lord thy God has showed. Then you will eat the tithe of your corn and of your wine and of everything you have before the Lord your God, that you may learn how to worship the Lord your God. By eating the tithe, it is worship unto God. So what was the tithe? The tithe was physical food that you had to eat before God. Now, pastors, I want to encourage you. You know, we cannot deceive our people. If that is what the Scripture states, then we go into that. Now, I'm going to make more sessions on this. It will come up tomorrow. Another session, maybe a third one, explaining this. But I want to just plead with you. Read this and let the Holy Spirit convict you of the truth concerning this. It says here that you shall eat the tithe before the Lord your God. The tithe was not something that was just given to the priests. It was eaten. You had to eat it. Let's read on. Verse 24. If the way be too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place be too far for you, which the Lord your God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God has blessed you, then shall you turn it into money, and bind up the money in your hand. And you shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and you shall bestow that money for whatsoever your soul lusts after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever your soul desires or lusts after. And then it says, and you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. Now, isn't that awesome? That is a blessing. Bless God. It says here, you will take the tithe and you will eat it. So the tithe was not something, you could not tithe with money. You couldn't give the money to anybody. The tithe had to be food. Even if we read on, and we'll get a little bit into that tomorrow, if we read on, we will find that the tithe was something that even the Levite, the widow, the orphan, and the stranger had to eat. It had to be in food. It had to be physical food. You couldn't tithe with money. It had to be something you had to eat, because it was something you had to eat in remembrance of God, which actually points to the communion. So tithing was taking 10% and eating it in remembrance of God. And that tithing was called meat in the house of God. People needed meat in the house of God. So if you wanted, that's what God said. He said, I want meat in my house. Even in Malachi 3, tomorrow we'll get into that. In Malachi 3, it states that if bring the tithe to the storehouse, that there can be meat in my house. And then the Bible says in John 6, Jesus said that his flesh is meat indeed. Amen. So the flesh of Jesus was that which came to the storehouse so that people can be set free. Amen. So I want to encourage you, go and study this out. I don't say go and preach this tomorrow in your congregation. What I'm saying is study this out. Let your heart be persuaded on this gospel. Let your heart be persuaded of how Jesus Christ came and how he influenced giving in the New Testament. Even in the Old Testament, a tithe was something that you had to eat. It was not something that was just given. Every third year, it was given to the priest. We can quickly read it here. It says here, at the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and you shall lay it within your gates. So the third year, you didn't take it to the temple or wherever they gathered to eat the tithe. It says, but you will lay it in your gates in the third year. And the Levite, because he has no part nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work that thy hands has done. Isn't this awesome? So what he says is, every third year, you'll take that tithe, you'll put it in the gates. Then the Levite, the priest, or the Levite, which is the priest, and all the people that couldn't by their own works provide for themselves would eat of what you provided. So that speaks, that's a type of Jesus again, speaking of people that can eat something, that can be nurtured, that can be cared for, even when they could not be cared for in there by their own works. They could not provide meat for themselves. What it says is, there will be a type and a shadow that the man that does have the ability to produce fruit will provide fruit for those who cannot produce fruit by their own ability, which was the Levite, which was the widow, we were widows. As Gentiles especially, it was the stranger, it was the orphan, the fatherless, speaking of people that could not provide by their own work. So number one, the tithe was something you had to eat in remembrance of God. Number two, every third year only, it was made available for the priests. And that, I believe, speaks on what Jesus Christ did in his third year of ministry, when he gave his body to provide meat for those who could not provide food for themselves by their own works. They could not get fruit from their own labor, and then Jesus provided the fruit by his labor for them, where it is just a type and a shadow of Christ again. Now we're going to talk about giving in the New Testament, how that works. So just keep on watching this. I believe this can really help you and bless you. We want our people to be free. We want our people to experience the unconditional love of God in the area of money. Amen. So just go and listen to this again. Study out those verses and ask the Holy Spirit to just show you this in Jesus' name. God bless you.